Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hey there, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet one person at a time. It's such an honor today to have Don Jose Ruiz, who's the author of The Wisdom of Shamans. Don Jose Ruiz is the Atoltec Master of Transformation and Modern Day Shaman. He's a direct descendant of the Toltecs of the Eagle Knight lineage and is the son of Don Miguel Ruiz. Don Miguel Ruiz is like one of those people that changed my life when I read The Four Agreements, and that's been, has a huge impact on my life. It's one of the books that I hand out to everyone that I meet, and I will now be handing out this book, The Wisdom of Shamans, because it was packed full of incredible information, wisdom, guidance, stories, just so full of incredible life-changing kind of information. I just really love this book. So thank you so much, Jose, for being on the radio with me today.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. I'm very honored to be in Power Radio today. Very happy, and I'm happy that you enjoyed the book, The Wisdom of the Shamans.
I really loved it. I mean, it's not a huge book. If you just hold it and pick it up, it's kind of small, but every page I took like pages and pages of notes. I did all the exercises, and you really just like really crammed in a huge amount of wisdom inside of this little book. It's beautiful.
Yes, thank you. We wanted to share all these stories and the meanings and the ways that it can help the reader. So I'm very happy how it turned out as well.
Yeah, it's a great little book. So I know you were sort of brought up in the middle of this kind of wealth of the spiritual tradition, the shamanic tradition. What was that like to grow up like that?
Well, it was very, very magical to grow up in with my family, with my teachers, that say that everything is possible, to look at this life like it's a dream. So, and it says, and the point about living is to wake up in our dreams so we can have control. So he said, when you do things with positivity, my father said, when you do things with integrity, that will support you in whatever direction you want to go. And especially when you want to work on something that will benefit others, that's the best gratitude you can have to life, because life will give you back the fruits. So seeing my father and my grandmother doing this service, it has nothing to, it has everything to do in my heart. And then when I started rebelling life happens, they push you away, start resisting. I can see the benefits of these tools, of this work. So when I read the Four Agreements and begin working with my father, I begin changing the way that I live life. And like my ancestor says, you begin changing the way that you dream life. And this was the gratitude that I have for growing up with my family.
Yeah. I mean, that's a life-changing book. It really, the Four Agreements. And I know that you also co-authored the last book in that series, The Fifth Agreement with your father, too.
Yes. When I got the Fifth Agreement, it was when he got out of his hospital after his heart attack. Mm-hmm. So it was a very beautiful honor for me to share that tradition as well.
Right. So this tradition that you come from, the shamans, they're from the Toltec, is the wisdom tradition that your family lineage comes from, yeah?
Yes, and the word Toltec means artist, so it's artist of the spirit. So we see humanity as the creators, the artists of this life. So we're co-creating all the time with each other. And it's a beautiful thing when we realize that we're creating art. So from this point on, we'll be aware of what art we want to create, what works for us and what doesn't work for us. And it returns back to integrity, which is the first agreement, to be impeccable with the word. So we begin living this way. We think impeccably, and we are Toltec completely.
That's cool. I love that it means artist. It seems so much more fun, that we could have fun. And I know you talk in your book too about creativity and creativity as sort of a gateway or a key to finding your way back to your real self.
Yes, and this is one way that I love to live life by, to see that every one of us humans is the tree of creativity. And in our tree, we have to offer fruit. So we inspire one another to create this beautiful masterpiece of life with our art. So if we can use it in a positive way, we have to be aware that we can use it in a negative way. So we begin seeing that life is negative and we don't want to live this way anymore. So we can completely change our art, because at the end of the day, we offer the art to the love of our life, which is ourselves.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. And I know inside your book, there's it's kind of an artistic book because there's a lot of stories.
Yes, and this is one of the beautiful things I wanted to share with people, the power of storytelling. Like one of my friends, one of my apprentices says, I wish I would have visions. I never get visions. And I said to him, I asked him, do you ever daydream? And he goes, all the time. Well, that's a vision. But we like to make it so mystical, so unreachable, that when we make a common sense, everything is possible. So storytelling is a beautiful way to share stories, especially to the little ones, because the little ones learn not what we say, but what we do. So when we put our passion to the stories that we tell and live by those principles, we can totally see that, you know, life could be easy.
Right. It's like the parable. There are parables, you know, and I think a lot of spiritual teachers use stories to talk to the part of our being that's like deeper, you know. And I noticed that in your book, there's a lot of ways to kind of access that. There's creativity, there's stories, there's divination, or, you know, rituals, meditations. And you seem to offer like so many different ways for people to get this wisdom into the deeper part of their being.
Yes, one of the beautiful things about sharing wisdom and sharing through storytelling is that, you know, we don't get like one of the principal problems that's happening, you know, like what's happening right away. In order, we share metaphors through storytelling that, you know, as we tell the story and the point of the story, it reflects to when our problem that we have in life, you know, a problem that is consuming us in the moment. So when we begin hearing a story from not our individual story, but seeing it outside of us and say, you know, I can take this on what I'm feeling right now, without telling us what to do, we get inspired to hear a story about transformation. That's right. When we see movies about letting go, movies about, you know, learning to forgive, and we begin, that inspires us to see. So all of us are storytellers because we all have lived life. So when we overcome our own story of negativity and put out the positive ones, so how we just focus on, you know, enjoying our life, that is the most powerful story to share to the little ones.
That's great. My favorite story in the book was the story about the man who goes into the cave to face the demon. And yes. That's my favorite one. I love that. That was the story of Quetzalcoatl was, you know, the flying snake was really sweet and beautiful too. But there was something so powerful about the man who goes into the cave to, you know, face the darkness and ends up hugging it and saying, I love you. And that was a great story. I love that story.
Yes. That story came to me into a dream. There was a point when I went to the dentist and something went wrong with the nerve system that I lost my eyesight for 2 weeks. Wow. And in those 2 weeks, I had a dream. And my dream was one of those stories, the story that you mentioned, that I was walking inside the cave. And all of a sudden, it was myself. I see myself. That's the demon. And I came to rescue myself inside the cave. And the moment that I forgave myself in that being a demon, when I woke up, it was the 7-year-old Jose that turned into a 24-year-old Jose and saying, thank you for coming back for us. And I said, for us? Yes, all the souls ready to get trapped in the cave. They were not anybody else's soul. They were our soul for each day we want to live. So when I opened my eyes, I could see a little bit. I could see blurry. But when I went to the restroom and seeing for myself in the mirror, I could see my reflection. And that's when I said, you know, all my life, my body has been loyal to me. Now it's time for me to be loyal to myself. And that's when I begin the Toltec tradition, because in the Toltec tradition, there's nothing to learn but to unlearn. So in that moment, I decided to unlearn anything. But that's because of that dream. It made me open my eyes.
That's great. I had a really similar dream when I was like 5 or 6 years old. And I remembered it my whole life, that I was like running through the dark and there was a demon chasing me. And the dream, I turned around and grabbed the demon by the ear and said, I know who you are. You're only me. So, yeah, that's funny. We had the same dream in a way.
Yes. And I love it because, like you said, that I know who you are. You're only me. So when you overcome yourself, overcome that part of negativity that wants to eat us, that is a powerful thing, you know. And when we do this in life, when we share our personal experiences, you know, we never forget our power. Like in that dream, you never forgot it. Like I never forgot the dream as well that I had.
Yeah.
And that makes us, you know, really see our power that we have to you know, to see what kind of life we want to live. And the beautiful thing is that everybody has this power to change their life and their dream if they're not enjoying it, because, you know, this is the time we say thank you. How are we going to say thank you to the one who gave us life? By enjoying our dream and believing in ourselves. I love this, sisters. Thank you for sharing that dream.
Yeah, I thought it was great that we kind of had the same dream. It was really cool. And I love this idea, too, that you're talking about, that we can change our dream, because I work as a, you know, a healer and a psychic, and I see a lot of people in my practice that feel very stuck, like they can't change their life. They don't know what to do to change their life. So what would you say? How can we use this wisdom to have a happier life?
You know, sometimes we use our own knowledge, like the scorpion. And the scorpion, what is not natural for the scorpion to do, like it's not natural for us to do as well, is to sting itself with its own stinger. Like you never see a scorpion stinging itself with its own stinger, because it's not natural. But, you know, we do it all the time. We sting ourselves with our own knowledge, with our own intelligence, especially when we want to do something. Like we want to leave a certain relationship or a certain addiction or something that doesn't serve us in life. We are aware of it, but, you know, we're so intelligent with our own in mind that we create justification, excuses that we don't take action. What I would say is, you know, start respecting yourself completely and stop being the scorpion, the sting itself with its own stinger, because that's not natural. And, you know, really respect the love of our life, that is us and the artist that we are, and the artist that is awakened and loves what it creates will never disrespect his own art, because, you know, it wakes up. And once we wake up, we can never go back to sleep. And this is when we know, if we are a scorpion, we know what we're doing. So if we sting ourselves with our own stinger, it's time to stop. But only we know when it's time to stop.
That's great. That was a good story, too. So I love what you said about personal freedom. Like, I just, what you were just saying reminds me of what you said about personal freedom. And it was so simple and so powerful, and it's so hard to do. Like, how do we accept ourselves? You know, personal freedom is when we stop disliking ourselves and we fully accept and love ourselves exactly as we are.
Yes, the personal freedom is when we stop judging ourselves.
Yeah.
Judging ourselves for how we look like, what we do. You know, when we do our best, it's the best that we can do. Sometimes we judge ourselves from not putting water out of a rock. But when we come to this point, is to basically, you know, really respect the artists that we do. And it seems hard, you know, but life is hard. Going through us, our emotion is hard. It's like how are you seeing this program in television with my brother? And the person in the program was a karate teacher, and all their apprentices were afraid to get hit by in their face. So in karate, they had to overcome that fear. So they begin practicing that way. And my brother turned around and said, isn't it interesting that we are afraid of love? We're afraid to be loved, so we close our own hearts because we're afraid that someone else is going to break our own heart. And in doing that, we break our own hearts. So that's why it feels difficult, to feel the betrayal before it even comes. And that makes us be addicted to suffering, be addicted that we cannot overcome anything. And, you know, and that makes us disrespect our own word. But the moment that you are not afraid to overcome that feeling, that heavy feeling, that emotion, the self-judgment, you know, the moment that we stop using the word against ourselves and, you know, begin waking up from our automatic habits that hurt us, then is the moment that you're not afraid of anything. You feel the fear, but your loyalty and love for yourself will not give it power to create a big story or drama with what's going on around. We will face it, learn from it, and let it go. And when it comes to learn or teach somebody or share information to somebody, we will remember it, but not as a victim. But, you know, as how we overcame it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, I love that. And can you talk a little more about the addiction to suffering?
Yes, you know, the addiction of suffering is the addiction of fear that we passed on by generations. And one of the addictions of suffering that we learn, we see it from television, from movies, from our families, from our friends, and, you know, how we go against love, how, you know, how we're not deserved for love. How we're not worth it, and, you know, we can never change, and this really is respecting yourself. This is something that society in all the world has, but the moment that you wake up knowing that this is an addiction, you know, you don't take yourself personal, and when you take yourself personal, you begin seeing everybody like if you were the only sober person, like my father says in one of his books, you're only the only sober person in a room where everybody completely drunk. Yeah. So in that moment, you don't take them personal as well, because you don't know what they don't know what they're doing. and that makes you aware that you didn't know what you did, but it comes a point of responsibility that can, you can see the whole heaviness in the world where everybody is hurting one another, taking everyone personal, putting opinions, defending their belief system, and really not having faith in their love or, you know, or in their religions. But the moment that you have faith in your religions and your way of life, you know that you're not going to put your God to fight in a battlefield or your belief system. It's like my brother says, one is not going to put at risk somebody else's sobriety in order to be right, you know? You begin right. respecting everybody. So from this point on, you can see that the world is sick. And the only one who can heal us from this sickness is ourselves. So this is the moment, as a Toltec talk about, we begin to unlearn. Unlearn what? Unlearn all the negative habits that, you know, that make us a victim, that make us hurt, that make us not advance in life. So be skeptical, but learn to listen is the fifth agreement. So this is about not being skeptical about what other people say. No, it's being skeptical of our own negativity. If I say, Jose, you can never change. Oh, Jose, nobody loves you. Oh, Jose, why even try? You know, and feel this guilt, this shame, building up with stories. It's the moment, the power to not believe these stories that I'm saying myself. And then, yes, I can overcome them. So in this, I do a mantra. So if I'm feeling like a victim, said I'm not good enough. And I do a mantra of I get a beets, a rosemary, mala. And I say 108 times, I don't have time to be victim. I don't have time to be a victim. Or I don't have time to disrespect myself. I don't have time to disrespect myself. You know, and I am meant for love. You know, whatever words help me understand it and stop thinking of that negativity, that helps. Sometimes I play music, but the beautiful thing is to stop feeling these negative habits because they're not real. The feelings are real, but the story is not. So we can see the whole dream of the addiction of suffering. We can see a program that is affecting our computer system. So if we created this computer virus in our computer system, we have the antivirus, and that is believing in ourselves.
Yeah, I love you wrote in your book an affirmation that was so beautiful that I wrote it down, and I loved it. It's I am perfect as I am. I have everything I need. I am whole. I like that one.
Yes, and then when you're complete, you have one service, and this is what people do not understand what enlightenment it is. Enlightenment is to be at service to the love of your life. And when you are at service, you know, sometimes I wake up and say, may life protect me from myself. Do not give power to these things that happen in life, because they're not worth sacrificing what I have now. And what I have now is a wholeness, like you said right now, because that is the most beautiful thing. And because we give this to our little ones and to our family, because we become the message. And this is the fire we speak about, the wisdom of the shamans. We all are keepers of the flame. And when we open this flame, we pass it to one another. And this is the beautiful thing about waking up to be gratitude, to be alive. And this is the beautiful thing that many people forget, to have gratitude to be alive, because we give power to the problems, to the dreams, to the illusions. But once you wake up and be grateful to what you have, to where you're at, you know, it's beautiful to be alive.
It is beautiful. And you know, you talk in the book about how we have to, you know, deal with what you call the parasite, which is like the, you know, negative self-talk that we have, and that those unconscious negative beliefs, and how we get domesticated into believing a lot of stuff that isn't real. That's what we're waking up from, right?
Yes, exactly. And this is what I liked about the story that me and my partner, Tammy Hudman, wrote. We make this story about the rattlesnake. Because in the shaman tradition, the rattlesnake, it resembles the human mind. Because when the rattlesnake is young, it's when it's more dangerous in its whole life, because it cannot control its poison. It will bite you and give you a lot of poison that it might kill you. Mm-hmm. And this is when we're young, we cannot control our emotional poison. You know, we hurt one another. We hurt ourselves. You know, we resist, and we will do all these things, you know, to ourselves until we wake up like the mature rattlesnake. And when the rattlesnake is bigger and mature, it has even more poison than it had when it was young. The difference it is that it learns how to control its poison. So I can see, here say humbly, you know, I'm like that rattlesnake. I have my love, but I also have my poison. But I learned how to control my poison. And this is one of the beautiful things about life. And the more you control your poison, it's because it's like being impeccable with your word. You begin to think impeccably. And right there, you know what decision and way to act, because this is what we're here for, to be the healers. And this is why the rattlesnake has the medicine and the medicine of the desert, because, you know, this is where the shaman learned his awareness when he was in the desert, knowing that everything is beautiful in nature. And when he sees the stars, we know that we're connected no matter where we're at, because we have ourselves.
Mm. Wow, I love that. And in your book, you talked to you about the animal totems, right? So, and you said that the rattlesnake is one of your totems, one of your power animals.
Yes, the rattlesnake is my first power totem animal, because this is, like I said, you know, when we're young, we're born and this poison controls us. And then, you know, this poison teaches us. And then the second totem was the bat, because the bat follows his instinct. It follows in darkness his instinct. So when I lost my eyesight, I could relate so much with the bat even more, because I had to follow my instinct to, you know, to find my attention. And just when I woke up in my lucid dreaming, and when I was lucid dreaming, I know that I was awake in sleeping dream or wake dream. But this is where but the butterfly comes out of the cocoon. And when I opened my eyes and jumped from the totem of the bat, I went to the jungle, and the totem of the jungle for me was the jaguar. And it's the one that I carry the most, because the jaguar is the one who's in protection, protecting the jungle, because this is what we're here for. Our mind is like the jungle. And when we wake up our instinct, that moment that perceives, the moment of that, you know, that thinks, that tells a story, to listen to the story, that energy, that force that we really are, that is the jaguar. That is the mind, you know. That is right. What we really are, who protect ourselves from ourselves. And from this point on, we serve heaven, because that is what we're here for in the stream of spirituality, to serve heaven, because heaven needs heaven. And I mean, heaven doesn't need heaven. Who needs heaven is hell. And wherever we go, we will take heaven with us.
Right. Well, the jaguar, it's interesting, because you talk too a lot in the book about the mastery of awareness, right? And how we have to become like a hunter to hunt our thinking, to hunt our, you know, make sure that we're in integrity and we're thinking good thoughts. And you have a built-in hunter if you have jaguar totem.
Yes, because we begin to catch ourselves. We begin to stalk ourselves. Like if we're breaking a habit, he goes, here I go, you know, here comes my cravings for this, you know. I'm craving it. I'm hunting myself. So in that moment is where my discipline comes into practice. And with the discipline, you test your will to say no. So at the beginning, it feels so difficult, you know, like any other thing that you're breaking. But the moment that you begin catching yourself, it becomes a way of life. This is why the elders are so powerful, because they experience everything in life, everything they gave power to. And from this point on, they say, I will not give power to that anymore, because there was a point that I asked for forgiveness and I forgave myself. And from this point on, I will never disrespect myself ever again. And this is when we practice in the third attention, the dream of the jaguar, because here we're here at service.
Yeah, there's a lot about forgiveness in your book, and I thought of the process of recapitulation, which sounded really powerful.
Yes, and it comes to a point when you become really aware of what you really are and what you're here for. Like one day I woke up and I knew the meaning of my life, and the meaning of my life was to take care of Jose, because I know what makes Jose happy, and I know what makes Jose suffer. And how do I know this? It's because I am Jose, you know, like you are yourself, and like everybody's themselves, you know. And when we take this responsibility, there we are. We're home.
That's great. I love it. So how can people find your book, and how can they find you if they want to buy your book or work with you?
Well, they can find the book in Amazon.com and in Barnes & Nobles. And to find the events, you can find us in MiguelRiz.com. And you can see the art that we have, and we interact in Facebook under Don Jose Riz. And under the Universe of Now, and Don Miguel Riz as well.
Well, that's great. And you guys do workshops where you teach this?
Yes, we do workshops. Like we just came from the Omega Institute, mm-hmm. and now I'm gonna be in Colorado soon. Like I'm gonna be in Denver, in Colorado Springs, and Boulder, presenting the Wisdom of the Shamans. You can find information on the website of MiguelRiz.com. And we're also going to be presenting a family event in Joshua Tree in September called the Circle of Fire, which we'll be celebrating an annual celebration with my father. And also we're going to be going to Teotihuacan, Mexico, celebrating the new year with my father and brother, and returning back to India in January. So wow. It's going to be a lot of traveling, a lot of fun.
Yeah,
fun
I guess
stuff.
So. I guess so. And I really so want to recommend that everybody pick up your book, because it was just beautiful and powerful. So, and thank you so much today, Jose, for being on my radio show. We're out of time already, sadly, but I'm so grateful that you were found time in your busy schedule to be on the show with me today.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. Thank you for the invitation. I'm also happy, and I'm happy to return one day.
Oh, I hope you do. And thank all of you guys out there in Power Radio Land for joining us, and we hope to see you again soon, too.